Johnny.
Hello.
What's up, John?
I am kind of bloated from too much food and water sports.
You got some of that lake bloat?
Lake bloat, absolutely.
What you been doing, and where are you?
Now I'm near Chattanooga, but I've been on the North Carolina, Georgia border, just flopping around on my dad's pontoon boat like a big fat piece of something or another.
Did anybody give you any guff for which bathrooms you chose to use?
No, I don't. I think I mostly just used the lake itself.
What's the preferred route?
Plus, my dad has a feud with the local sheriff, so nobody messes with him anyways.
That's not surprising.
That's the best way to stay out of trouble.
I feel like you're a chip of the old...
Be related to the trouble.
I assume you're a little bit of a chip off the old block. So finding out
ever so slightly.
Yeah, authority issues, not surprising.
But it's certainly been a whirlwind of basketball. Like my entire family was mad at me for checking my phone so often, but kind of had no choice.
Yeah, while my wife and I eat dinner, you know, like we have a no phones at the table, you know, rule. But mm-hmm. I keep like peeking down at my lap, and so Abby will say kind of sarcastically, like, real big trade happening. And I kept being like, yes,
yeah.
Actually. Yeah. I was like things have happened. Like, things keep happening. It's so exciting. Well, but I guess before we go any further, even though this is a little weird half episode, did you have breakfast today? I feel like we should cover it. Are you
did
in a
I
car?
What's
happening right now?
Yeah, I just started my car. I don't like to go into coffee shops, so I'm sitting outside of the coffee shop stealing its Wi-Fi.
Oh, that is a pro move.
I did go in, buy a liter of cola, and then ask, hey, what's your Wi-Fi password? And then take the drink straight out.
That seems fair.
So I'm giving them some patronage.
Yeah. What was the soda of choice?
Oh, good old-fashioned Mexican Coke, Refresco.
Nice. Yeah, do you have breakfast while you're on this little vacation?
My mother, who can't cook at all, made breakfast for me. So it was a big-time throwback. This is what my mother always made. Ready? Eggs over hard. Although they were probably intended to at some point be over easy, but definitely over hard. Turkey bacon, which is why I'm filled with rage my entire life. I've been eating turkey substitute products forever. And then a piece of wheat bread with cheese melted on it.
That is not inspiring. It's not terrible. I mean, all you need is some hot sauce, and that breakfast is awesome.
Oh, I've been pouring sundry hot sauces on my food since 5 years old.
Yeah, so that's not bad. I had a non-breakfast. It's actually good. We're doing this remotely, not in the baby dungeon. I had some Thai food from Nashville, established the Smiling Elephant. Brought it into the basement. It's like it's still here. Like the smell is everywhere. It's that post-Thai food.
I used to love that place so much, and like the last 10 times I've been there, it's been borderline inedible. That's like a Dwight Howard fall from grace. from like the best place on the street to like it ruins your entire day.
Yeah, I have
Dwight Howard fart smell.
I have no palate, as our listeners know.
Right.
But the combination of spices is pleasant. But yes, it's a Dwight Howard fart factory for the entire day afterwards of just the smell of the food, just carrying the food into your home. You would have liked
it. What did you have, Keith?
That's what I'm saying. I had that
specifically.
I had a pad Khmer Mao with pork.
Yeah.
Was good. I mean, again, no complaints.
That sounds a lot more appetizing than cheese toast.
But not as cost effective.
Chuck, what did you have?
Oh, Chuck's not here. Oh, Chuck, he's with us in spirit. I've placed
I'll go ahead and tell you what Chuck had for breakfast. A big old piece of
I will. Chuck, with the very last second, I cannot podcast right now, waiting to the last possible moment to where I couldn't schedule a guest. But
that's the killing stroke.
And I assume this is like the time he had to work all day and was just getting a tattoo. Like, I assume he is not.
We're going to check his whole body.
Now that I know where he works, I am tempted to go. Like, it's not a food truck where he could be anywhere. Like, yeah, go, like now that he's stationary.
Can you drive there while we're podcasting? And maybe we can get him for the last, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, man. Maybe that'll be a Patreon-only Periscope.
Well, yeah, that'd be amazing. That's like a scavenger hunt podcast.
Yeah, that's like To Catch a Predator.
Happen is another one of these like horrible New York City stoop kids he hires to run the food truck probably just quit at the last second on him.
That's true.
I always hate it when I'm traveling and my podcast schedule makes it chaotic for everyone else, and then it just explodes in our face, turns to ashes in our mouths.
Yeah, I think the last time we podcasted together, like right before the podcast, Chuck, like one of his employees called him. And the guy was like closing up, and Chuck was like, "But did you clean out the oven?" Or I don't remember what it was. Did you clean the grease out? And he's like, "Oh, no."
These kids, they look like little, like, it's like Chuck is the T-1000 of fat, tattooed, worthless, no good, do nothing ne'er-do-wells, and then they're like the little giblets that like come off of his body and form like a smaller T-1000.
I mean,
that's literally the only difference is that they'll be a little smaller than Chuck.
They're just the babushkas.
They're nesting dolls.
They're
Chuck,
the Calathus to his
dolls.
Kufus.
There's one guy who is really awesome and always has like a level of cocaine that we call Kid Rock cocaine. But that guy can't work all the time. I think he's gunning for Chuck's job.
He just wants to take it over?
He's going to steal Chuck's entire livelihood.
You come at the king, you best not miss. So during this week of post NBA, the last trade, it has been the best week of the NBA season, I think. I mean, maybe I just can't remember back when it was exciting to have basketball every night, but
some deep thought into this and I'm struggling to find.
There have been exhilarating Woj bombs dropping, and you don't even know when they're going to come. Like, The Chris Paul trade was at like 9 a.m. or something, and I just kept checking my phone like, is this real? Like, I couldn't believe it was real. When did you hear the Chris Paul news?
The circumstances under which they acquired him is pretty staggering.
Just bizarre.
It makes you – when you read about it and you find out that it really was like a I want to go to Houston and Houston alone scenario, it makes it make a little more sense. But until I found out that, I was just like, so why wasn't every other team in on this, you know?
Well, and it was also weird where like Lou Williams tweeted that it had been in the work for weeks. So yeah. Like it wasn't shocking to him. And then that was like a weird opening up of how the Woj bombs shock all of Twitter. But maybe these NBA players know this stuff that's going on. But
you know, it's a cabal.
Yeah.
Oh, pun intended. Sorry. Well, my favorite joke on our Patreon only Slack chat was somebody says, and I'm sure he didn't, hope Lou Williams didn't sell his house.
He did. He
I'm
also
excited about Lou Williams coming back. That's where he belongs.
Yeah. Although Lou Williams also, he was tweeting about me earlier today. I don't know if you saw it.
What's that?
He called out nerds covering basketball, and then people were giving him a hard time, and he said, quote, "I could have used a better word, but my tweet was aimed at the homemade podcast and basement bloggers who got the most to say."
Damn.
Those words cut deep, Lou.
Jesus Christ.
He came at us hard.
Somebody call Keith's mama.
I will
that
say.
That is bad.
Another one of the offseason things that's been incredible for the last week, NBA Twitter, as in the actual NBA players on Twitter, have gone unfiltered. They're just tweeting everything. CJ McCollum has narrated the whole offseason.
Like, CJ McCollum, despite looking like Scooby-Doo, is a fascinating Twitter persona.
I agree.
Every tweet is better than the last.
Yeah, I mean, he made big news with the call out to Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, I didn't think he could top Cancun.
Yeah, we won the lottery, but not by not signing you. But still, he's been on fire all week, just commenting on things, talking about how Avery Bradley should have made first team all defense, and when finally one of these bloggers.
It's hard to make. It's hard to get first team all defense right when their writers given like Isaiah Thomas all defensive team votes.
Oh, you can't make it up. The guy who voted for Isaiah Thomas and LaMarcus Aldridge although LaMarcus Aldridge had a good defensive rating and whatnot, but yeah. The guy who voted for him works for an Argentinian magazine called Olay. So, I mean, that's, yeah, truth always better than fiction. What do you think, though, going back to the Chris Paul trade, I feel like through our text exchanges, we're on the same side of this, where we think, despite the fact that it seems like maybe their styles won't mesh, maybe we think, or you think it's going to work?
I've never understood the notion where, okay, let's add one of the best players in the world, but somehow the stylistic clash will be so great that they will somehow be worse. I just don't understand that. Especially from like two ball handlers. That's not how basketball works. Adding more ball handlers is never an issue, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think they'll just be at least as good, you know? I mean, I think losing Pat Beverly is, you know, that's something that they lose, but Chris Paul's one of the best defensive guards in the league as well. I mean, it's just kind of a silly notion.
Well, you're not losing defense. I mean, Chris Paul's better than Patrick Beverly at defense, even though, you know, even though Pat Beverly, respect, was first team all defense. But I agree. These aren't guys where you're like, these are solo ISO scorers and they won't work well together. Like, we don't want DeMar DeRozan and Carmelo Anthony playing on the same
team. Ryan Anderson is going to average 40 points a game now.
They are going to have the most wide open looks ever. And I don't know if they are going to eventually try to move Ryan Anderson, you know, to try and get Paul George for a year or maybe carve out room, sign and trade for Paul Millsap. But yeah,
both of those guys are even better catch and shoot players than off the dribbles. You know, shooters, not players, but shooters. So, I mean, I just think it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, the Rockets already went from one of my least favorite teams to watch to, you know, pretty fun to watch last year. I can't even imagine what they're going to be like next year. And I mean, I really am going to hate them.
They've also gone from my least favorite team to extreme least favorite team.
Yeah.
like if the Clippers lose Blake Griffin, they're suddenly lovable. Like the Clippers are on the precipice of being lovable, especially with Ballmer in charge.
Can we pivot there briefly?
Oh, sure. Let's go to the Clippers. Yeah.
Because I don't understand, unless Ballmer really already has this figured out and they're going to build around Blake Griffin. Like that. So Blake Griffin is staying, right? That has to be happening.
No, that's very much not in.
Oh, my God. Certain.
I would wager he is not staying.
So is he going to bottom out this team, let them lose lots and lots of games for a while and move them to Seattle?
It's a possibility, but no. I mean, I think he's pretty far into the process of securing
I've read nothing about that, by the way, so that may be a really turkeyed out conspiracy theory.
Well, that's something people are always going to cite with his Seattle connection.
Right.
But I believe he's already made pretty far headway into the new Clippers home, like where it's going to be in the new arena. But this is a pretty big blow to, one, the value of his franchise. I think, like, the actual financial value of the franchise.
He just bought it for, what, $2
billion? Yeah, $2 billion.
Jesus.
I have actually been thinking about all the poor Clippers fans. Chris Paul's the favorite.
I think Billy Crystal and half of Bill Simmons' ass will be okay.
Right. Yeah. Well said. I just think about all those. Los Angeles is such a big market, and you know, with the Lakers being a tire fire the last few years, Chris Paul is probably the favorite player of just tons of people. Like, that's a big name moving, and even going to like a sort of rival. It's just wild to me.
If when Griffin goes to the Heat, I mean, who is the favored Clippers fan? Because we know it ain't Austin Rivers.
I think Blake
Jamal Crawford.
The Blake Griffin lottery is a Hunger Games level lottery in my book.
That's a poison pill, baby.
I would rather have 5 years of Chris Paul than 5 years of Blake Griffin. I'm terrified of what Blake Griffin is going to become. But no, I think
this is not to say Blake Griffin isn't still a really good player. He's just the cracks are showing. He's not. It was great that he had an outside shot, but that's not what you have him for.
Right.
And now that seems to be what he's into. I mean, he's still he really is a good playmaker, and he really is still a good player. But he's no longer like wreck the rim, take over a game. like when Chris Paul went down, it looked like Blake Griffin was an MVP level player. That guy's not walking through the door.
Right. That 2 or 3 year ago guy is definitely not happened. What do you think about the biggest trade, the draft night trade, which we hadn't talked about, or just we haven't talked about any of draft night. Jimmy Butler going to the Timberwolves. Just stunning, stunning news.
Really bad trade. But strangely, like, I still don't think the Timberwolves will be like a contender at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's just like such an easy move to make, but I kind of can't make fun of, I mean, the Bulls did get swindled. I feel
incredible. But, I mean, I think there's no understating how atrocious of a trade
Garpax,
it is.
I mean, Garpax, we've made so much fun of Phil Jackson and other, you know, GMs over the years, but Garpax really has probably not gotten enough of our ire.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's the least well-run organization.
The trade they did, the Taj Gibson, Doug McDermott, a second rounder for Campaign. And then Campaign ended up in the D League.
The Iowa Energy or something.
They got Campaign and Jerian Grant and Isaiah Cannon and Rajon Rondo. And now Chris Dunn's their point guard of the future. Yeah.
Chris Dunn doesn't look very good.
And I'm also pretty down on Zach LaVine. I mean, he was the
joke we've made all year is when Zach LaVine goes down, that team is good.
Right. And even though he did look like he was kind of a most improved candidate for not being such a huge negative on the court. But yeah, the Bulls doing that. And obviously the thing that everyone has latched on to.
Hey, Keith, what's Zach LaVine known for?
Dunking?
Guess what he just tore?
Yeah, ACL.
And he's not back yet either.
No. Well, I mean, you gotta give him time.
Yeah.
Speaking of ACLs, I don't know if you were watching the Big Three on Monday night on Fox Sports 1.
White Chocolate?
White Chocolate, down for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
That's devastating.
Yeah. That actually kind of emotionally took me out of the whole thing.
I got to say,
I did trick some friends into betting on a game that had already transpired.
Oh, that's expertly done.
I felt good about that.
Based on the feedback I was seeing on Twitter during the event live on Sunday, I thought the Big Three was going to be kind of a disappointment. I know Allen Iverson was booed, and apparently the game that Allen Iverson only played a few minutes in was atrocious. Like, no one could hit a shot. So I wasn't expecting much. But then whatever.
Sounds like basketball.
But yeah. But then whatever they aired on Monday night was incredible.
Yeah.
I was blown away. One, how hard the guys were playing, and it felt like good, bad, like, I don't know.
I'm ready for the Grizzlies to sign some of those guys.
Who you got?
Bring them on.
I feel like Deshaun Stevenson still has some life. Some life
Come
in
on.
Him.
He's still stroking. Mucci, put him on the Grizzlies. Stretch the floor.
Mucci Norris, though, I think his best days. His best days are definitely behind him. Going back to Jimmy Butler, I do think the weird fit of Wiggins and Butler is not awesome. I would be really curious if they could maybe make another huge splash and move Andrew Wiggins. But who knows?
I'll get a little more turkey fried for you. There is no way that Tibbs can enjoy coaching Andrew Wiggins. And he just brought in his favorite player who kind of plays his position.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit. That something stinks.
I'm ready.
Andrew Wiggins is like everything Tibbs probably, because Andrew Wiggins sucks at defense.
I'm ready for the send it. Let's run the trade back. Wiggins for Kevin Love. Triumphant return to Minnesota for Kevin Love. Wiggins returns to the franchise, which drafted him number one overall. Let's call it in.
I think that would be. I would rather have Kevin Love.
That would make the Cavs worse.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question that would definitely make the Cavs worse.
Well, I get in so many arguments with people, and they're like, "Well, don't you think the Cavs are regretting that trade?" I'm like, "No, I'm not.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. They won a title. Kevin Love, while he's not playing to like his full potential, has played well for the Cavs." I'm not on this team like K-Love sucks at everything suddenly. I think he's a pretty good team defender in their system right now. You know, sometimes he gets beat by, you know, vastly superior power forwards down low. Yes, it does happen.
Right.
But
and
I
I'm
mean,
not, I'm not even convinced there's a good move for the Cavs. They seem to be, the rumor is consistently they are looking to trade Kevin Love, and there's even like the linking of him being traded for Paul George. I'm not convinced any of this stuff really is going to make that big of a difference.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I mean, I think the more likely scenario is LeBron forming some nightmare super team somewhere else.
Yeah, what are you thinking about all of the Paul George rumors?
The one I'm enjoying the most is the Rockets getting him.
Yeah.
That one is most pleasurable to me.
Why pleasurable?
Because that team would be Warriors level interestingly awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have to, I imagine, part with some combination of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson to do that. But, and they wouldn't have nearly the depth that the Warriors have, but that would be fascinating.
Yeah.
It would, and, you know, like Daryl Morey has said, it is an arms race. So, you know, get involved or get out of the way. And these other teams look inclined to get out of, look like they're willing to get out of the way. So Glenn and his son are getting out of the way.
So the big news with Paul George is him, you know, announcing he was going to go to the Lakers next year. But the Lakers haven't acquired him. It seems like maybe they had a chance to do it, but people were arguing they shouldn't do it. They don't do the Carmelo Anthony situation where you trade out good players and you make your team worse, and then you're not good once you actually get the player. But I feel like
there's rumors of Melo to Rockets as well, by the way. Which
I don't think that would be awesome, but I'd be intrigued.
D'Antoni's already had a dose of Carmelo. I can't imagine that. Although D'Antoni clearly has nothing to do with how these players are acquired, by the way. I don't know if you read that interview with him, but he's in the dark as much as we are.
Oh, that's really interesting. No, the Paul George stuff, I think, is really strange because the Lakers cannot offer a attractive package to the Pacers at all anymore. Like
The Lakers have no pieces.
Right. Like it was going to be, well, what if you give them like Clarkson and Randall and this 27 and 28 pick or something, but then they used them. The draft went past. Now you have all these kinds of teams that are poised to give, I think, more. You have the Celtics possibly going to give up a future asset and like a notable wing player or rotation player. You have the Cavs maybe offering Kevin Love. You have the Suns who have suddenly maybe snuck into the argument with future assets.
Hey, don't the Celtics have one of the Clippers first rounders?
They do. The Suns have a Clippers first rounder. However, those Clippers first rounders are lottery protected, so not a ton. Not a ton has changed there.
I always forget to look at the protection, just like my meager penis.
Yeah, so I think Paul George remains the most interesting because he said he wants to go to LA, but I don't feel there's a way he makes it to LA this season now. And it's just which team is going to commit assets to get him for maybe just 1 year. I think the Cavs are an interesting one. And again, like I said, the Suns who have suddenly been rumored, and you might not have seen this. You were driving. The Suns have a meeting set up with Blake Griffin, and they could clear room to sign Blake Griffin. And
they definitely have a Clippers pick.
Right. Well, so then if the Suns get Blake Griffin, then they could package any number of contracts to the Pacers. They have two Miami first rounders in the future. They have all of their own first rounders, and they could send like either Marquise Chris or Dragan Bender, like
Brandon Knight,
pickers from last year. Yeah, no, but seriously, to make the salaries work, you would send out like Brandon Knight and Dragan Bender for Paul George works, and then you could possibly attach two first round picks. And the Suns, Robert Sarver might be nuts enough to do that for
The Suns have so many power forwards. What are they doing? They don't want to see if any of them work out.
That's why you would trade them away. Because I mean, if you could roll out Eric Bledsoe, Devin Booker,
Paul George, Blake Griffin. Talk about that even further. Yeah. Can you explain to me why you would want to even have a 1 year rental with Paul George? Do you think you're going to like call his bluff and woo him? Is that the
idea? I think that's the idea. If I'm the Suns, I would not do it. Because I don't think he would stay. However, maybe you're thinking Phoenix is close enough to LA for maybe it's the hot weather. He's having fun. And if it is a fun team, I mean, you got to assume Bledsoe, Booker, Blake
so you're
Griffin
just
and
hoping
Paul George.
That he really wants out of French Lick or wherever the hell it is.
Well, that's the thing is he's, I mean, this is all talk of he has stated he's not going to re-sign with the Pacers and they have to move him. And it does seem like, I'm not advocating this should happen, although as a league pass junkie, this should happen. But, you know, Suns fans know they should probably stick
What's
to their
the
rebuild.
What's the likelihood of you ever watching the Pacers play again ever?
You know what? I don't dislike him. I grew up watching Chuck the Rifleman person and Reggie Miller playing.
I was like, always more of a Wesley the pea shooter person guy myself.
I mean, I even love the...
War Eagle, excuse me.
Right. I even love the Jalen Rose Pacers years. I was a big fan. So, no, I'll be all right with the Pacers.
That team's not a lot of fun, though, right now.
Oh, yeah. The Pacers are a bit of a mess. Although I'm hoping... My Grizzlies dreams involve convincing the Pacers to do a sign-in trade where the Grizzlies send Troy Daniels and Brandon Wright for CJ Miles, who we then sign for the same amount of money, about $9 million a year. That's like my biggest pipe. That is, John, that's my pipe dream.
I'm scared to know, like, your plans for the Grizzlies because they'll be so, like, hyper-specific that there's no way you can be happy.
No, I tweeted them today. I tweeted a screenshot of a Google
document. I think I muted you on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it's smart. It's smart. My extreme dreams are the sign and trade for CJ Miles and then signing James Johnson with our full mid-level exception. That's about it.
There's something so, like bittersweet about that, though.
Yeah, it seems like we could have had him.
We had James Johnson in our clutches.
It's like how we had
for
James.
So long.
Well, it's like how we had James Ennis on a minimum salary and then waived him for Ryan Hollins and then had to re-sign him the next year for $3 million a year. Anyway, what were your other takeaways?
Grizzlies suck, man.
What were your other takeaways from draft night? Can you remember back last week?
Oh man, just being completely ecstatic with. After going starting 2-0 with my picks and then being completely miserable when the next two went down the drain.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil Jackson.
You wagered twice your bank account on five picks.
And then been being saved by some guy named Justin Jackson, I think, or something like that.
you were saved by Vlade.
Yeah. Hey, I like Vlade's draft.
Vlade came through for you. I will say next
but
year,
I
maybe,
liked it.
Maybe keep this in mind. Chad Ford's final insider draft board was 5-0 on those picks you put in. So I don't know.
Are you sure that he didn't just edit them as he went along?
No, because I looked him up beforehand because I texted him to you. I said, Chad Ford has your bets going 3-2.
You may have just gotten Chad Ford insider incepted. Is there a dreidel spinning on your table right now?
It hasn't fallen over. That's pretty good.
Chad Ford as played by Tom Hardy.
I guess last topic we should probably get to. How did you feel about the end of the How's It Goink era?
I mean, I think was this some incredible long con by James Dolan to like get JD and the big shots back in the hearts of New Yorkers everywhere? I don't understand.
I like that perspective.
I mean,
he has become the good guy all of a sudden.
Until Isaiah Thomas comes strolling in.
Isaiah Thomas tweeting today, I have no interest in working with the Knicks. I'm very happy with the New York Liberty and NBA TV.
I really think the only way James Dolan can truly become a hero is if he gave full agency to run the entire team to Charles Oakley.
That would be big of him.
That's the only way to cover up the injustice that occurred earlier this season.
It seems like maybe Chauncey Phillips would be popular. Like if Chauncey Phillips
Chauncey's saying no to Cavs also hilarious.
If Chauncey spurns the Cavs 5-year offer, when's the last time someone turned down a 5-year GM deal?
This is a pathetic podcast. We shouldn't have talked about any of the news, and we should have made this just a Schadenfreude only podcast where we talked about Austin Rivers ruining one franchise, Phil Jackson ruining one franchise, and then exiting as the franchise enters perhaps a different era of ruination. Miami Heat probably going to try to pick up two guys they shouldn't pick up in Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin. I mean, all this hilarious stuff is going on, and the only thing that really matters is that the West is somehow getting even better.
The West is sort of getting better, but we have hope of – I have some hope of Blake Griffin, and if Blake and Gordon go east, that'd be huge. We just got to keep Paul –
Unless they go to the same team, would it be huge?
I look at it always, as everyone knows.
I like Gordon Hayward. I like Blake Griffin. But
getting them out of our conference is good because, I mean, they're good players.
I get, yeah, but I mean,
the Grizzlies
are
and
go east?
The Grizzlies and Jazz. I mean, the Thunder and Jazz get worse than the Grizzlies. That's all that matters to me.
Okay, all right. That's wow. You just gave me a little narrative I needed. Thank
I mean,
you,
I mean,
Skip.
The Timberwolves have jumped up, but it's the Warriors, it's the Rockets, it's the Spurs, then probably the Timberwolves. I know those other teams lurking. I know the Blazers maybe have some moves to make.
So you think Tibbs? You think Tibbs year two is going to be a Timberwolves game changer?
I think there's such a giant drop off.
Yeah,
I mean the Spurs have moves to be made.
I mean they have to be better, right?
I'm but saying
I just,
every
I just
other
don't
team
know
is kind of worse.
That echelon where they are a real threat.
Oh, I don't.
Because you know we can call this. In fact, if you'd like, we can call this like the Grizzlies line. Like, wow, that team's pretty good right there in the Western Conference hunt, fourth or fifth. But nobody.
No, I think it's going to be
we get Amin El Hassan every time.
That's so true. No, I don't think they're contenders, but I think they have a leg up now on most of the other West. The West looks.
Well, they certainly gave up nothing to get that. So, yeah, I'd be inclined to agree.
In the super team era, everyone looks pretty mediocre, except for the few teams who are actually going for it. And I salute you guys. Teams actually trying to get better. What a novel.
Yeah.
What a novel concept.
If we had done like our regular format, I probably would apologize to Daryl Morey.
That's fair.
My best and worst would have been Austin Rivers. I mean, we could have done a lot. We could have regular formatted, but then, you know, we lost Chuck in the battlefield.
What about the Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford, Austin Rivers guard triumvirate of the Clippers?
If Lou Williams and Jamal Crawford touch, I think it's going to rip the fabric of our space-time continuum apart.
that's yeah, I agree.
One of them needs to grow like a little evil Spock goatee.
Do the darkest timeline?
Yeah, broken the mirror universe.
Well, our last thing, I guess we can do a par fadeaway because again, I keep talking about how like this is Christmas. This is just like a Christmas. This is the 12 days of Christmas,
brother. This is Hanukkah.
Yeah, because July 1st is coming when the actual free agency officially starts, and we've already had this opening act
every day for 2 weeks, and there's a Jewish overlord named Mr. Silver overseeing you.
Yeah.
This is Hanukkah.
What are you? Are there any big other names that we haven't talked about that you're looking forward to maybe moving? Are there any teams that you have your eye on specifically for free agency?
I am extremely interested in what the Heat do because certainly they're not going to try and re-sign their, you know, Deion Waiters and James Johnson type things. They're going to try to sign stars and then find some new Deion Waiters and James Johnson guys. So I think that's going to be really fun, especially considering Chuck's sanity and how much power he ends up giving whomever they sign. Because it's going to be Chuck's going to have a jersey. He's going to be praising them. He's going to be breaking down their game. So that's very exciting for me. That gets us back to our roots as a Heat fan podcast.
Yeah. and hopefully we get some broken, sad, scorned Heat fans out of all that. I'm really looking forward to the Sixers having the option of kind of breaking free agency. Them and the Kings have so much more money than anybody else. They could just pick, like, if they want someone, they can have.
You know, the Heat have max level money, too. I mean, there's some teams that really can do some damage.
Well, I think that the Sixers particularly are interesting because you assume they're going to try to be good. They have what you consider a point guard if they're going to hand it over to Markelle Fultz. And so it's just like, do they want to give 3 years, $70 million to Joe Ingles? They could. Like, do they want to give $90 million over 4 years to J.J. Redick? They could, because, like, other teams can't do that so much. And so it's going to be curious. Like, whoever they decide to grab is really going to upset the balance. And then everyone else, all these other players, are going to be scrambling for money.
I want to hear Abelo Joe Ingles on J.J. Redick's Watch podcast, Stat.
That would be great. All right, well, those are just a couple things to look forward to. John, what's the rest of your weekend got for you?
Oh, man. Just going to be refreshing Twitter and our Slack chat with a frenzy, trying to see where the next complete league recalibrating trade or signing goes. I mean, it's going to be the weirdest offseason I can remember easily.
Yeah. We're already well on our way, and it has been Fantastic. Well, good talking to you, bud. I will safe travels, have fun, have a happy 4th, and I will see you next week.
All right. Likewise. Do something, Danny Ainge. Do something.
Well said. All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening. If you want to keep track with us over the next few days of the opening of free agency to get all of our true unfiltered thoughts, you can always support our program at patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast and join the Slack chat. You're going to get all kinds of awesome reactions from the 40 or so people who are on that. It is a blast around the clock. So I'm really looking forward to going into free agency with those other incredibly crazy basketball fans who support our show. So if you want to get in on that and support us financially, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fast break, man. You understand?